Hey everyone, and welcome to this deep dive. Today we're going to be digging into something I think you're going to find really interesting.
Yeah, this should be pretty cool.
It's all about building that strong financial foundation, you know, making sure your financial future is secure.
Exactly, and it can get a little overwhelming, right?
It really can, with all the info out there.
So we're going to dive into some of the stuff you've sent us.
Yeah, break it down into those really key insights.
Exactly.
Awesome. So let's jump right in. One of the things that really stood out to me was this idea of asset allocation.
Yeah, it seems like you're really intrigued by that.
I am.
And for good reason, too. It's kind of a core concept when it comes to building wealth over the long term.
I see that.
And the material you sent actually does a great job of explaining it.
Yeah, I noticed that they keep using this analogy of building a financial house.
Right.
I'm curious to see where they go with that.
Well, they really use it to explain how different types of investments, you know, stocks, bonds, real estate, even things like precious metals. They're like different rooms in your house.
Okay.
Each room has a specific purpose, right?
Yeah.
Like each type of investment plays a different role.
In your overall portfolio.
Exactly.
So you're saying it's like you wouldn't put a bathtub in your kitchen.
Right.
You wouldn't put all your money into one single risky stock.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And actually, Exhibit 3.1 in this material, it outlines those major asset classes.
Okay.
And explains like why you might want to consider them.
I like that. So it's not just throwing money at whatever's hot at the moment.
Right. It's really about strategically building a portfolio that, you know, reflects your goals, your risk tolerance.
Yeah, so your own individual needs, not just following the crowd.
Exactly. And just like building a house, it's a process.
Okay.
It takes time. You need a plan.
Right.
And that's where the idea of strategic versus tactical asset allocation comes in.
Okay, so that's where I start to get a little fuzzy.
Okay.
What is the difference between those two?
Think of it this way. Strategic asset allocation is like your blueprint, your long-term plan for how you want your portfolio structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's about setting target percentages for each asset class based on, you know, your time horizon, risk tolerance, financial goals.
So if you are a long-term investor,
right,
you can handle a little more risk.
Yep.
You might put a bigger chunk of your money in stocks.
Exactly, because stocks have that growth potential.
Okay, that makes sense.
Now, tactical asset allocation, that's more about making those short-term adjustments to your portfolio based on, you know, maybe market conditions or specific opportunities.
Okay.
It's like making tweaks to your house's decor.
I like that.
You're not tearing down walls or anything.
Right.
You might swap out some pillows, rearrange the furniture.
Freshen things up.
Exactly.
So tactical allocation is more about being active.
Uh-huh. Trying to kind of capitalize on those market swings.
Gotcha, yeah.
But you know, this material makes a really interesting point about the dangers of getting too tactical.
Okay.
Because it can lead to emotional decision-making, you know, driven by fear or greed.
Oh, yeah.
Which can really backfire.
I bet.
They actually share the story about two brothers who inherited money back in the 1980s.
Oh.
One chose a strategic buy and hold approach with bonds.
Yep.
The other one went for a more tactical approach.
Uh-huh.
And let's just say the results really highlight the potential downsides of trying to time the market.
So like constantly checking the oven to see if your cake's done.
Exactly.
Or might ruin it by messing with it too much.
Exactly. You got to let it bake.
So how do we find that balance, you know, between seeking to that long-term plan, but knowing when to make those little adjustments?
That's where understanding yourself and your goals becomes so crucial.
Okay.
This source does a really good job of emphasizing self-awareness as a key principle in investing.
Okay.
You got to be honest with yourself
about
your risk tolerance, how long you're investing for what you want your money to do for you.
Yeah. What are those goals, right?
Exactly.
It makes me think of this term. They use human capital.
Right.
What does that even mean in this context?
Human capital essentially refers to your future earning potential.
Okay.
It's the value you bring to the workforce.
Gotcha.
And it's a huge part of your overall financial picture, especially when you're younger.
I see.
They actually include a visual in this material. It's Exhibit 11.1.
Okay.
And it shows how your human capital decreases over time as you get closer to retirement. While your need for financial capital increases.
Makes sense.
So it's like this balancing act.
Yeah. So someone with a high earning potential, you know, they might be more comfortable taking risks.
Yeah. Because they have time to recover from those potential losses.
Makes sense.
But again, it comes back to those individual goals.
Right.
Comfort levels.
There's no one size fits all approach.
Exactly.
Now, something else that caught my eye
uh-huh.
was this idea of reversion to the mean.
Right.
It sounds a bit like financial karma to me.
It's an interesting concept. It means that asset prices tend to go back to their long-term average over time.
Okay.
So if something has been performing way above its historical average, it's likely to come back down eventually.
So don't get too excited if something's doing really well.
Right. It might just be temporary.
Gotcha.
And on the flip side, if an asset class is underperforming,
uh-huh,
it might be a good time to buy for those who are patient,
okay,
and have that long-term perspective.
So understanding this concept,
right,
can help us avoid those bad decisions.
Oh, exactly.
You know, getting caught up in the hype.
Right. You don't want to get swept away by the hype.
No. So how do we guard against those impulses?
Yeah, those emotional impulses that can lead to those bad choices.
Right.
Well, this source actually highlights some common psychological biases,
okay,
that can trip up even the most seasoned investors.
Mm.
Things like overconfidence, you know, anchoring to past performance, short-term thinking.
These can all lead to mistakes.
Exactly. They can really cloud our judgment.
It's almost like we need a financial therapist.
Right.
To understand our mindset around money.
That's a great point. And this source actually stresses the importance of getting advice,
okay,
from a trusted source.
Okay.
Kind of like having a wise Uncle Frank in your corner.
Yeah, I like that.
Someone who's been there, done that.
Why is that so important?
Because having someone you trust,
yeah,
to bounce ideas off of,
uh-huh,
someone who can offer a different perspective, challenge your assumptions.
Right.
That can be incredibly valuable. It,
yeah,
can help you avoid those knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah, that we often regret later.
Exactly. It's like having a sounding board to make sure
that
you're not just reacting to the noise.
The frenzy of the moment.
Exactly.
This is really making me realize,
mm-hmm,
how much psychology plays into investing.
It's huge.
We've talked about the house, the furniture,
right,
the mindset.
Right.
I'm curious about the people actually building it all.
Yeah. Who are the players involved in managing our financial house?
Exactly.
That brings us to manager selection.
Okay.
And this source addresses that really well.
Good.
They use this great analogy of jockeys and horses.
Oh.
Choosing the right investment manager can be just as important as choosing the right investments.
So we're not just looking at the horse's pedigree.
Right.
But also the jockey's experience.
Exactly. You need a skilled jockey.
And track record.
Yep.
And some horses are more dependent on that jockey's skill than others.
Exactly, like hedge funds or emerging markets.
So that's where due diligence comes in.
Absolutely, you got to do your research.
What should we be looking for when we're evaluating these potential jockeys?
Well, this source suggests asking key questions,
okay,
about their experience, their investment philosophy,
okay,
track record,
yep,
and fees.
It's like interviewing for a crucial position on your financial dream team.
Exactly, you want to make sure they're a good fit.
Right. And you want to make sure their approach aligns with your goals.
Absolutely.
Your risk tolerance.
And your values.
Yeah, for sure. So finding the right resources to vet these managers is important too.
Yeah. Where can we find reliable information to help us make those decisions?
Right.
Well, this source actually gives you a helpful list.
Oh, great.
Of resources, websites, publications, even government filings.
Okay.
That can give you insights into a manager's background and performance.
Awesome. So it's like having a detective's toolkit.
Right. You got to do your homework.
Separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yuck.
I like that you wouldn't buy a car without researching its safety rating.
Right.
Or comparing prices.
Exactly the same principle applies here.
Your hard-earned money.
You want to protect it.
That makes sense now with all this talk about growth and returns.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking about protecting what we've built.
Right.
How do we make sure our financial house can withstand those storms?
That's a really important point. And this source does a great job of highlighting the importance of portfolio protection. They really emphasize diversification as a key strategy for managing risk.
So not putting all our eggs in one basket.
Exactly. You want to spread things around.
Why is that especially important during a downturn?
Well, think about it. If your portfolio is really concentrated in one asset class,
uh-huh,
and that asset class gets hit hard, your losses are going to be much bigger.
Okay, yeah.
But if you've diversified across different asset classes,
right,
that react differently to different economic conditions, you're creating a buffer.
Okay, a cushion.
Exactly.
To absorb those shocks.
Right. And this source emphasizes that diversification doesn't just mean owning different stocks.
Okay.
It means owning different types of assets.
Mm.
You know, stocks, bonds, real estate.
And commodities.
Commodities, even alternative investments like private equity.
So it's about building a portfolio that can handle anything.
Exactly. You want to be prepared for different scenarios.
Inflation, recession, global uncertainty.
You got it.
This source also highlights the importance of having clear investment objectives?
Yeah, those goals we keep talking about.
Right. Why do they become even more important during a downturn?
Because when things are feeling chaotic and uncertain, having that clear sense of purpose can really help you stay focused.
Right.
Avoid making those emotional decisions that you might regret later.
Yeah. It's like having an anchor to keep you grounded.
Exactly.
When the seas get rough.
Right. You don't want to get swept away by the storm.
So those goals, they act as a compass.
Exactly.
Guiding you back on course.
Yep.
And sometimes seeking guidance from a trusted advisor.
Right.
Can be helpful during those times.
Especially during those challenging times.
Yeah, because when emotions are running high,
yeah,
it's hard to see things clearly.
Absolutely.
Having that outside perspective can help you make those rational decisions.
It can be invaluable.
This source also talks about monitoring your investments.
Yes.
Being prepared to make adjustments even during a downturn.
Right.
Why is that?
Because market downturns can actually create opportunities to rebalance your portfolio. Maybe buy assets that have become undervalued or adjust your strategy based on the changing economic landscape.
So it's not about panicking.
No, don't panic.
It's about being proactive.
Exactly. You want to take advantage of the shifts in the market.
So viewing those downturns not just as threats,
right,
but as potential opportunities.
Exactly. To reposition yourself for future growth.
This has really been eye-opening, this whole psychological side of investing.
Yeah.
This source also talks about mental traps.
Yes, those mental traps that can sabotage our success.
Especially during times of stress.
Right, when we're feeling the pressure.
So what are some of those biases?
Well, it talks about things like overconfidence.
Okay.
Anchoring to past performance and short-term thinking.
These can all lead us astray.
Exactly, even when we think we're being rational.
So how do we overcome those biases?
Well, the first step is awareness.
Okay.
Just being aware of these biases and how they can influence our thinking.
So shine a light on them.
Exactly. Bring them out of the shadows.
What else can we do?
This source also suggests seeking objective advice.
Okay.
From a trusted financial advisor, a mentor, even a friend who knows about finance.
Right. Someone who can offer a different perspective.
Exactly. Someone to challenge our assumptions.
When we might be too close to the situation to see clearly.
Right.
And finally,
uh-huh,
this source reminds us to focus on the long term.
Yes. Keep your eyes on the prize.
Those long-term goals.
Exactly.
Don't get sidetracked by the noise.
Don't get caught up in those short-term fluctuations.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive so far.
It has been fascinating.
We've covered so much ground from building that strong foundation.
Yeah.
Understanding the psychology and those key resources that can guide us.
Right.
What are some of the key takeaways you hope our listener will walk away with?
I think the biggest one is that building a strong financial foundation, it's an ongoing process.
It's not a one-time event.
Exactly. It's a journey.
Requires continuous learning.
Right.
Adaptation, commitment to making informed decisions.
You got it.
And this source has given us some great tools and resources to support us on that journey.
Absolutely. It's like having a toolbox filled with everything we need to build that financial house.
I like that analogy.
Navigate those storms and reach our financial destinations.
This deep dive has been so insightful.
It has been a pleasure.
To our listener.
Yeah.
We encourage you to explore the resources we've discussed.
Absolutely.
Continue to deepen your understanding of these concepts.
Knowledge is power.
Especially when it comes to your financial well-being.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been great.
Until next time.
See you then.
Okay. So we've laid some good groundwork. You know, understanding asset allocation, why it's so important for building that strong financial foundation.
Yeah, we've got those basic building blocks in place.
But now I'm realizing there's a whole other layer to this, the actual process of, you know, making those investment decisions.
Right. It's not just about picking stocks that sound cool.
Exactly. And this source really dives into some practical strategies.
Yeah, for navigating that whole decision-making landscape.
And it seems a lot more complex than I initially thought.
You're right. It really emphasizes the need for a structured approach to making those decisions.
Okay. I like that.
And it all starts with understanding the difference between your investment objectives.
Okay.
And your environment outlook.
So objectives are like what you're trying to achieve with your investments.
All right. Your goals, your dreams.
Okay.
Your financial needs.
While the outlook is more about your view on how the market's going to perform.
Exactly like what you think is going to happen.
So objectives are the why.
Uh-huh.
Outlook is the what.
Precisely. And this source actually gives you a bunch of questions to help you define both.
That's helpful.
Yeah. So for investment objectives, it asks things like, When do you expect to need this money from
Okay.
your portfolio, and how much risk are you comfortable with?
How much loss can you actually absorb?
Right. Those are some pretty big
Well, you
questions.
are.
And answering them honestly can really make you confront those financial priorities.
And your comfort level with risk. Okay,
Exactly.
so that's the objective side.
Yeah.
What about the outlook? What kind of questions help us shape our view of the market?
Well, it encourages you to look at the bigger picture, you
Fair.
know, the overall economic and geopolitical landscape.
I see.
So questions like, what are the key factors that are going to influence the markets in the coming months or years?
Okay.
And how strong are those factors? Are they going to help or hurt your investments?
Okay.
It even asks you to think about potential risks to your plan.
Okay.
Like, what if inflation spikes or interest rates go up?
So it's not just about understanding the market in general,
No.
but also those specific risks that could impact your portfolio.
Exactly. And the source stresses that these risks are constantly changing.
Oh, wow.
So what might have been a safe bet a year ago could be a whole different story today.
It's like checking the weather forecast before you go on a hike.
That's a great analogy.
You know, conditions can change quickly.
Right.
You want to be prepared.
You got to be ready for anything.
Okay, so once we have a good grasp on our objectives and our outlook,
Right.
then what this source suggests, moving on to evaluating specific asset classes.
Right.
Okay, so what are some of the key questions we should be asking ourselves?
Well, it encourages you to really dig into the fundamentals of each asset class. So, questions like, what makes this asset class attractive right now in the current market environment? And what are the risks involved? How
Fair.
do those risks align with my own risk tolerance?
So we need to understand both the potential upside and the potential downside,
Exactly.
and how that aligns with our own comfort level with risk.
Right. It's not just about the potential rewards.
Okay.
You got to consider the risks too.
And it goes beyond just looking at the asset class in isolation, right?
Yeah, you got to look at the bigger
That
picture.
whole context of our portfolio.
Exactly. So questions like, how will adding this asset class affect my diversification?
Okay.
And how does it correlate with the other things I own?
So will it add balance and stability, or will it make things riskier?
Right. You want to make sure it all works
It's
together.
like making sure each piece of furniture fits in the room.
I like that and contributes to the overall design.
It all has to flow.
Exactly. This source is all about encouraging that holistic approach.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You got to be informed. You got to think about
It's
everything.
about being a more thoughtful investor.
Yeah, not just jumping into
Okay,
things.
I like that. Now, this source also introduces us to some of the big names,
Yeah,
you know,
right.
the thought leaders who've shaped this whole field of asset allocation.
The pioneers of investing.
Like a who's who of financial wisdom.
It really is. It highlights people like Charles Ellis, Peter Bernstein, William Sharpe, David Swensen, Martin Leibowitz.
Wow, that's a lot of brain power.
Yeah.
What were some of their key insights that we can learn from today?
Well, Charles Ellis, for example, he's all about taking that long-term perspective. You know, don't overreact to those short-term market swings.
Easier said than done.
I know, right? But he really encourages us to stay focused on the bigger picture.
Okay.
His book, Winning the Loser's Game, it's got some great strategies for not just surviving, but thriving in the market.
So it's about recognizing that market volatility is just part of the game.
Exactly. It's going to happen.
And trying to time those swings can really backfire.
It usually does.
Okay, so patience and discipline are key.
Yeah, those are the virtues of successful investing.
And Ellis gives us a framework for developing those qualities.
Exactly. He lays out a path.
Okay, now what about Peter Bernstein?
Peter Bernstein, he's known for his work on risk management.
Okay.
He says that understanding and managing risk is just as important as seeking returns.
So it's not just about chasing those big gains.
Right.
You got to protect what you have.
You got to minimize those potential losses.
His books Against the Gods and Capital Ideas,
Yeah.
those are classics.
Go into those concepts in more depth.
They really delve into the intricacies of risk.
And seeing how these experts' ideas are all interconnected.
They build on each other.
Now, this source also mentions William Sharpe
Right.
and his work on asset pricing models.
Yeah, he's a legend.
What exactly did he contribute to the field?
Well, Sharpe's work led to the development of something called the Sharpe ratio,
Okay.
which is a way to measure risk-adjusted returns.
So it tells us if the returns we're getting are worth the risk we're taking.
Exactly. It's all about finding that
So,
balance.
okay, like, is the juice worth the squeeze?
That's a great way to put it.
Now, this source also highlights David Swensen.
Oh, yeah, the Yale Endowment guy.
Rad, he's known for his success managing that.
He's like a rock star in the investing world.
What's his secret sauce?
Well, he's a big believer in diversification,
Okay.
but not just across different asset classes.
Yeah.
He also diversifies across geographies and investment styles.
Makes sense. He really emphasizes finding those less conventional assets
Okay.
that don't move in the same direction as the U.S. stock market.
So finding those assets that zig when others zag.
Exactly. You want to smooth out those bumps in the road.
And another expert mentioned is Martin Leibowitz.
Right.
What did he focus on?
Leibowitz, he's done a lot of work on fixed income investing,
Okay.
yield curve analysis,
Yeah.
and alternative investments.
So things like private equity and hedge funds.
Exactly.
Okay. And how do those fit into the whole asset allocation picture?
Well, he's really explored how to incorporate those into a diversified portfolio
I see.
to enhance returns and manage risk.
That's fascinating. Now, this source also delves into the legacy of Paul Cabot.
Right, a true pioneer in the field.
What was he known for?
Well, Cabot, he was really bold and strategic
Okay.
when he was managing the Harvard Endowment.
Uh-huh.
He shifted the endowment heavily into stocks,
Okay.
and that coincided with a huge bull market.
So he made a big bet and it paid off.
He did. It was a bold move.
That's incredible. It's amazing to see how these individuals shaped our understanding of asset allocation today.
They really laid the groundwork.
But this source doesn't just stay in the theoretical realm. It also gives us some practical guidance
Right.
for creating our own personalized financial plan.
Yeah, it walks you through the steps.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, it begins with those fundamental questions
Okay.
about your income
Oh,
expenses,
okay.
risk tolerance.
Gotcha.
It even asks about your preferred approach to managing your investments.
So, do you want to be hands-on or work with an advisor?
Exactly. Do you want to DIY or outsource?
So, it's about taking those high-level concepts and actually applying them to our own lives.
Precisely, it's time to get personal.
Okay. And it encourages us to think not just about our current situation,
Right.
but also our future needs and goals.
Yeah, those long-term aspirations.
Questions like, how many years until you want to retire?
And
Yeah.
what's your life expectancy after retirement?
Okay.
How will that affect your planning?
Those are important things to consider.
They really are. It forces you to think long term.
It's like creating a roadmap for your financial journey,
That's a great way to put it.
anticipating those twists and turns along the way.
Exactly.
Now, this source also provides some guidance on determining your investment outlook.
Right.
It gives us a framework for evaluating those broader market forces.
Yeah. Understanding those trends that might be at play.
What are some of the key things we should be looking at?
Well, it encourages you to really think critically about the information you're consuming.
Okay.
Don't just take things at face value.
Question everything.
Yeah, question your sources, consider different perspectives.
So don't just blindly follow the crowd.
Right. Do your own research.
Be an active participant in your financial journey.
Exactly. You're in the driver's seat.
I like that now this source also stresses the importance of regularly reviewing and adjusting your asset allocation.
Yeah, that's crucial.
As your circumstances change, as the market
It's
evolves.
not a set it and forget it type of thing.
So it's about staying informed, being aware of those changes,
Right.
and being willing to make adjustments along the way.
You got to be flexible. You got to adapt.
Okay. It highlights the need for ongoing education.
Yeah. You should never stop learning.
Seeking out reliable sources of information,
Yeah.
and just continuing to expand our understanding of this whole financial world.
It's a lifelong journey.
This source also provides a helpful list of books and other resources
Oh, yeah, that's a great resource.
that can help us deepen our knowledge.
There's some fantastic books on that list.
Okay, I'm definitely adding a few to my reading list.
I think you'll enjoy them.
Now, this source also mentions something that's relatively new in the investing world,
Okay.
exchange-traded funds or ETFs,
Right.
and how they've really democratized access to a wider range of asset classes.
Yeah, ETFs have been a game changer.
So how have they made things more accessible?
Well, they've made it easier for people of all levels of experience and wealth
Huh.
to invest in things that were previously out of reach, like precious metals, commodities, foreign currencies.
So it's like ETFs have opened up the playing field,
Yeah, everyone can play now.
giving us more options,
Yeah,
more flexibility.
exactly.
And a lot of these ETFs are more liquid.
Right.
They have lower fees than traditional methods.
So they're a great option for both new and experienced investors.
That's awesome. It's amazing how technology has changed the way we invest.
It really has.
Now, this source also encourages us to tap into our personal network as a source of information and insights.
Yeah. Talk to people.
It's like crowdsourcing financial wisdom. What are
Exactly.
some of the ways we could do that?
Well, you can talk to friends, colleagues.
Okay.
Family members.
Uh-huh.
Go to industry events.
And just ask questions.
Right? Be curious.
And learn from the experiences of others.
Exactly. You're not alone in this.
This source also reminds us of the value of seeking advice from professionals.
Yeah, those trusted advisors.
Financial advisors, mentors.
People who can guide us through the complexities.
Sometimes we need that objective perspective.
We do.
Someone to help us see the forest for the trees.
Exactly.
This source also emphasizes staying informed.
Yes.
About new opportunities.
Uh-huh.
Being aware of those new financial products.
Right. The landscape is always changing.
So it's about being proactive.
Yeah. Don't just sit back and wait for things to happen.
Seek out those opportunities that can help us reach our goals.
Take control of your financial future.
Okay. Now, this source also talks about evaluating financial advisors.
Right.
You know, if we choose to work with one.
Yeah. You got to do your due diligence.
What are some of the key things we should be looking for?
Well, it stresses the importance of asking the right questions.
Okay, what kind of questions?
Questions about their experience, their investment philosophy, their approach to risk management, and of course, their fees.
So it's about making sure their approach aligns with ours.
Exactly.
And that we're comfortable with their style.
And that you trust them.
Yeah, trust is huge. Now, this source also suggests looking beyond those traditional financial news sources.
Right. Don't just rely on the headlines.
Where else can we find good information?
Well, it suggests exploring industry publications, government reports, academic research.
So really digging deeper.
Exactly. Get a more well-rounded perspective.
Okay. This source really emphasizes the importance of being an active learner.
Yes.
A critical thinker when it comes to managing our finances.
It's about taking ownership of your financial journey,
right?
Not just blindly following the crowd.
And making those decisions that align with our long-term goals.
You got it.
This has been another incredible deep dive.
It has been fascinating.
We've covered so much ground.
We have.
From those core principles of asset allocation.
Right.
To the psychology of investing. And all those resources that can help us along the way.
Yeah.
What are your final thoughts for our listener?
Well, I think the key takeaway is that building a solid financial foundation, it's an ongoing process.
It's a journey.
It is.
It requires continuous learning, adaptation, commitment.
And it's a journey worth taking.
We've talked about building that solid financial house, right? Choosing the right furniture, those asset classes, and even finding the right jockeys to manage it all. But I'm realizing even with the best plans, you know, the most skilled team, there's always going to be those unexpected things, those storms.
Right, like those market downturns or big economic shifts.
Yeah, things you just can't predict. This source actually talks about navigating those financial storms. I'm curious to see what kind of advice they offer.
Yeah, that's a really important part of the equation. This source does a great job of acknowledging that reality, you know?
Yeah.
We can't control everything. And then they provide some strategies for not just surviving those tough times, but potentially even using them to your advantage.
So it's not just about battening down the hatches and hoping for the best.
Not at all. In fact, they remind us that downturns can actually be good opportunities.
Okay.
For those who are prepared and have that long-term perspective.
Makes sense.
Remember that concept we talked about, reversion to the mean?
Right, the idea that prices tend to go back to their average over time.
Exactly.
I can see how that might be relevant here.
So when the market dips,
mm-hmm.
certain assets might become undervalued.
Okay.
And that's a buying opportunity for those who are patient and disciplined.
So it's not just about riding out the storm.
Right.
It's about using it to reposition yourself.
Yeah. Potentially for future growth.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
But this source also emphasizes having a plan in place before those storms hit.
Right. You don't want to be caught off guard.
So being prepared.
Exactly. And they talk about diversification as a key strategy for managing risk during those times.
Right. Like not putting all our eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
But why is diversification so important during a downturn specifically?
Well, if your portfolio is heavily concentrated in one area and that area gets hit hard, you're going to feel it.
Your losses are going to be amplified.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you spread your investments around, across different asset classes that react differently, you're creating a buffer.
A cushion to absorb those shocks.
Right. So even if one part of your portfolio is down,
another
part might be doing okay.
So it's like having those shock absorbers on your car.
Yeah. It helps smooth out the ride.
Even when the road gets bumpy.
Exactly. And they emphasize that diversification doesn't just mean owning different stocks.
Okay.
It means owning different types of assets, you know, stocks, bonds, real estate, commodities.
Alternative investments.
Right.
Okay, so building a portfolio that can handle anything.
You want to be prepared for different scenarios.
Makes sense. Now, this source also highlights the importance of having those clear investment objectives.
Yes, those goals we keep coming back to.
Right. Why do they become even more crucial during a downturn?
Because when things are feeling chaotic and uncertain,
Yeah.
having that clear sense of purpose, those whys behind your investments can help you stay focused
Right.
and avoid making those emotional decisions that you might regret later.
So it's like having an anchor to keep you grounded when
Exactly.
things get rough.
Right. You don't want to make impulsive moves based on fear.
Your goals,
Yeah.
they act as your compass guiding you back on course.
Exactly. And sometimes seeking guidance from a trusted advisor
Right.
can be especially helpful during those times.
Yeah, because when emotions are running high, it's hard to be objective.
Absolutely. Having that outside perspective can really help.
This source also talks about monitoring your investments.
Yeah, and being prepared to make adjustments.
Even during a downturn.
Exactly, because those downturns can create opportunities to rebalance your portfolio, maybe buy things that have become undervalued,
Okay.
or even adjust your overall strategy.
So it's not about just holding on for dear life
No, it's about being proactive.
and taking advantage of those shifts in the market.
Exactly.
Okay, so viewing those downturns not just as threats,
Right.
but as potential opportunities. I
Exactly.
like that now this whole conversation has really highlighted the psychological side of investing.
Yeah, it plays a huge role.
And this source also digs into some of those mental traps that can trip us up,
Right. Those biases that can sabotage our success.
especially when we're under stress.
Exactly when the pressure is on.
What are some of those biases?
Well, it talks about overconfidence, anchoring to past performance, and short-term thinking.
So basically, those ingrained patterns of thinking that can lead us to make bad decisions.
Exactly, even when we think we're being rational.
So how do we overcome these biases?
Well, the first step is awareness,
Okay.
just recognizing that these biases exist and how they can influence us.
So bringing them out into the open.
Exactly.
Great apples.
This source also suggests getting advice from someone objective,
Okay.
a financial advisor, a mentor, even a friend who knows about finance.
Right. Someone who can offer that outside perspective.
Exactly. Someone to challenge our assumptions.
We might be too close to the situation to see things clearly.
Right.
And finally, this source reminds us to focus on the long term.
Is keep your eyes on the prize.
Resist those knee-jerk
Those
reactions,
emotional responses to short-term market moves.
which can lead to costly mistakes.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's all about keeping our eyes on the prize, those long-term goals.
And not getting sidetracked by the noise.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive.
It has been a journey.
We've covered so much, from building that strong foundation to understanding those psychological pitfalls and identifying resources that can help us along the way.
It's all about empowering yourself to make informed decisions.
What are some of the key takeaways you hope our listener will remember?
I think the most important one is that building a strong financial foundation, it's a continuous
It's
process.
not a one-time event.
It's a journey that requires constant learning adaptation and a commitment to making smart choices.
And this source has equipped us with the tools and the knowledge to embark on that journey
Absolutely. It's like having a roadmap and a toolkit.
to help us navigate the financial landscape.
Exactly, and reach our destination.
This has been so insightful.
It's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
To our listener, we encourage you to explore those resources we've discussed.
Yes, keep learning, keep growing.
Remember, knowledge is power, especially when it comes to your financial well-being.
And remember, the journey itself can be just as rewarding as reaching the destination.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.
See you then.